When Shark Tank aired in India in 2021, it made stars out of founders like Anupam Mittal and Vinita Singh. Aman Gupta, the man behind Boat, even said that they stop spending on marketing when Shark Tank is on TV. But not everyone can be on television. And founders understand that the audience today loves content and is taken by the entrepreneurial hustle. Enter podcasts.
I purposefully put in 6 to 8 anecdotes / information points / qualitative insights on Bombay Shaving Company in every episode. So I don't show my logo and my products, but the conversation is about Bombay Shaving Company a lot more than people think.
I believe companies have recognized that middlemen or agencies in the middle, they aren't doing a great job of it. And why should anybody get to control the narrative when they can do it themselves?
Big names like Kunal Shah, Dipinder Goyal and Mukesh Bansal have started their own shows which are distributed across platforms. These shows dive deep into industry subjects or offer solo reflections. Yet, they steer clear of asking their guests tough questions. Essentially serving content that is an ad in disguise.
Sanjeev, welcome to Cred Curious.
Hello, I am Mukesh Bansal. Welcome to Sparks. Our guest today is Kunal Shah.
Hi everyone. I like how I'm sitting with the three of you and pretending to know what I'm doing here.
Hi, welcome to the very first episode of Speak Greasy at Mac Street Kitchen.
Tell me your story. How did you get here?
In this episode, I'll explore why these busy leaders are investing their time and money in podcasts. What is their end goal and what goes behind the scenes in producing these shows? And are we hitting a saturation point? It's Friday, April 5th. I'm your host, Apurva Mittal. And you're listening to Founders Talkers, the Rise of Entrepreneur Podcasts, only on ET's Morning Brief. High visibility attracts capital and builds trust. And compared to traditional advertising, which takes crores to pull off, a podcast is low cost and has a massive impact because it works as content. Realizing this, Shantanu Deshpande, the founder of Bombay Shaving Company, launched his podcast, The Barber Shop, in August 2022.
See, I'll tell you the issue. The issue was Bombay Shaving Company is a company that operates inside the bathroom. Okay, and usage of our products is a very private affair. Okay, so a razor, a shaving cream, a shaving foam, an aftershave is individually used privately inside the bathroom. Number one. Number two, men are not very great conversationalists on personal care products. So we had to find a way for the brand to become more conversational in nature. One way to do it is to keep harping upon, hamare razor mein ye acha, hamare cream mein wo acha, etc. But the other way was, can we take our brand and make it beyond the product? Can we make it about conversation, cultural, it's a new age brand, D2C. There were a lot of themes that we were a challenger brand with, we were taking on an incumbent. Our marketing team and me, we kind of said, hey, how can we make a marketing property for Bombay Shaving Company, which is via you as the face? And we kind of, did some problem solving on it. And then the whole concept of building out entrepreneurship in a more detailed way as Bombay Shaving Company made a lot of sense. And hence we called it The Barber Shop. We could have called it anything, but calling it The Barber Shop had a clear connotation to Bombay Shaving Company. I very, purposefully put in 6 to 8 anecdotes / information points / qualitative insights on Bombay Shaving Company in every episode. I get the other person to talk about Bombay Shaving Company a lot. So I don't show my logo and my products, but the conversation is about Bombay Shaving Company a lot more than people think. So it's a great marketing engine for our brand.
His episodes have been viewed some 6 million times. The chats can go up to 2 hours and get into the journey of their guests, who are also often startup founders. All of these founder-led podcasts tie up with an external agency that helps them with conceptualization, production, and even making the episode go viral. founder of Owl, which is a production company that helps Nikhil Kamath with his podcast, told me that a 3-hour episode can yield up to 64 media assets, which are then posted across different social channels. So why did you decide that, you know, all your marketing team and those brainstorming sessions, if you could take me there, why was it important for you to be the face of this podcast?
Because our consumer is a younger consumer, and the younger consumer is almost developing advertising fatigue. You know, they are very curious and they can't be fooled. And one thing that I think a lot of younger consumers want to know is who are the people behind the brand. They want to know the authenticity of the person behind the brand. They want to know the team. Okay. They want the brand to be almost human-like. So putting the face, and I'm someone who is, you know, fairly well-spoken. I can carry a point of view forward. I can communicate it well. I can speak about how I'm building the business, why I'm building the business, and so on. And it made a lot of sense for me to do it. Who is this brand is a bigger question than what is this brand. So that is what kind of propelled us to, I don't think we could have paid someone or anyone else could have done it. I think a first person vantage point is irreplaceable. So
interesting. So talking about ROI, how has the podcast contributed to the branding of your company or your personal brand? How are you exactly measuring this in terms of, you know, your marketing output and how well, you know, it's doing for your company?
So this is not very easily attributable because it takes a long time to build out. But let me kind of give you some metrics, right? Number one, our top of mind awareness. If you compare it to 8 quarters back, which is before we started Barbershop to today, our top of mind awareness, or TOMA, used to be around 1.5 to 1.8% amongst urban users of our leading brand. Today, that TOMA has increased to 8% in 8 quarters. Number two, when consumers are walking into stores, it could be a Reliance or a DMart or a Wellness Forever, when they see Bombay Shaving Company, 3 out of 10 buyers recollect that they have seen the founder of Bombay Shaving Company on some YouTube or Instagram video talking about something interesting. That's how they've heard the brand.
Okay.
And it comes out, acha, yehi wo brand na jisme wo takla founder hai jo entrepreneur ke bare mein baat karte hai, yehi hai na wo, yehi hai na. That's the question to the promoter or to the salesperson. And it is very clear that that is leading to the person picking it up, seeing it. They have seen some short about me talking about how we develop our products, for example. And then they are seeing the product a week later in the store. So the propensity to pick up is very high, right? And third is, like, when we are starting to launch products on the Barbershop, right? So to give you some numbers of the Barbershop, we got 100 million impressions last year organically, no spend at all, right? Have to have paid for 100 million engaged impressions. This is not just someone scrolling Instagram and seeing the ad. No, that's not the impression. This is someone genuinely, like, listening for 3, 4, 5 seconds at least to what is being said, right?
So what, I mean, are you doing any other marketing things? I mean, either paid marketing on Instagram, like performance marketing or anything else?
Yeah, the percentage of how much we have to do that is much lesser. So now, our performance metrics are a lot better. So for every rupee we used to spend earlier, we would get 2.5 rupees of revenue. That number is now gone to 4 rupees of revenue for the same rupee.
Okay.
And the number of rupees spent is much lower. So my performance budgets have come down. My revenue has gone up because my purchase is a lot higher. My conversions are a lot higher. How much of that is attributable to Barbershop versus brand strength versus repeat percentage going up? It's fuzzy science.
I mean, you started the conversation saying that it at most takes 12 to 13 hours in a month. How do you manage your time to accommodate the podcast production? And can you tell me, like, the kind of team or the support around this project internally and externally?
So the amount of preparation I have to do is very little. From a content side, we have a very good team, right? We have internally a couple of marketing folks who are, like, good at content. We have a content production agency called Revolio, who are just very good at, like, taking the content, breaking it up, editing it well, you know, producing it in a way that makes the conversation very voyeuristic in nature. So they're very good at that. Right? So the team does a bunch of the heavy lifting on. I have to just make sure that I give them all the raw material. And that I do, you know, I in those 12, 13 hours, I will milk it. So my personal approach is to make the guest completely comfortable. You can always, if you don't want to release something, you have complete censorship approval. This is not a sensational podcast. This is not a podcast that I want to take out information. I'm uncomfortable. This is a very positive podcast.
And once, you know, you hit publish, how do you get that virality and, you know, that distribution?
Very simple. Yeah. We take a 2-3 hour episode. We cut it down to maybe 70%. If it's a 2-hour, 2.5-hour record, it usually comes down to a 1-hour, 45-minute super tight episode. But then in that 1-hour, 45-minute episode, there are 15 to 25 shorts / reels, which are 30 seconders to 1-minuters. I find 5-minuters also. And then we break that up. So the 5-minuters, 5 to 10 minuters go up on a separate YouTube channel called Barbershop Clips. Okay. The shorts and reels go up on YouTube and Instagram for Barbershop. And the podcast circulated on, we have now understood what works. So now me and my team, when I shoot an episode, usi point, usi episode mein, I'm actually, when something is going on with my hand, I'm giving a signal to my producer. This is the moment. This is the moment. So wo log timestamp lete rehte hain. And then they also put their own head on it. And now we have a very good instinct ki kya chalega. 3-4 bade themes are broadly.
Okay. So, you know, Ashando, it appears that more companies are keen on controlling their content and narrative. And, you know, large corporations have set up their own newsrooms, you know, whereas founders like yourself, you're launching your own podcasts. Could you share your thoughts on this movement towards content ownership and, you know, the desire to sort of control or own what kind of information you're sending to the end consumer?
I think this has been going on for a long time, right? I think, you know, brands would do it through advertising and brand ambassadors. We have not, this is not the first time people have done content properties, right? Now, I think because of distribution channels like YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, etc., and the ability to be a lot more authentic that way, I think podcasts have become a way for brands to do it. I think end of the day, brands will continue to control narrative. I can't just go on the podcast and say random things. It's very purposeful and very specific to the objectives of Bombay Shaving Company, right? So I think that will continue, but I think content distribution as a game is one that is evolving constantly. I think technology will make it very interesting, but end of the day, human beings don't change too much fundamentally. Human beings love to be entertained, okay? And people who can entertain the best are the people who will be most successful. Brands ho, podcaster ho, koi bhi ho, right? The Roman kings who built the Colosseum told us this. You entertain the crowd, you win the crowd.
Are you monetizing any of it or earning anything from it?
No. There are people who reach out and say, hey, we want to come on the podcast. And if my team feels like they can charge them to be on the podcast, then we charge them money to be on the podcast. But we will never tell our listeners who is a paid, you know, podcast versus who is a free one.
Why is that?
Because it doesn't matter. It's independent to the consumer. I'm giving the consumer the best. Like, for example, Kapil Sharma show. I'm sure a lot of movie promotion.
Yeah.
I'm sure the producer are paying some money for that inventory. Kapil Sharma doesn't owe it to anyone. He has to give great content, whether it's a promotion or he's invited the guest. So same thing with us also. We have to engage the consumer and give them great content. I have a P&L to run. I will pay revenue, okay. I'll spend my own time. So I will find five people who will kind of pay and kind of cover that up. But end of the day, consumer doesn't have to pay, consumer enjoys.
So what percentage have been paid, like, out of all the podcasts you've done, and what kind 30%. Of money have you taken?
30%. 30%.
Yeah. And 30%. How much have you charged?
We cover costs. I cannot share how much we charge, but we cover cost for the whole thing. It's a profitable. Barbershop is a profitable P&L. It makes money for the company. So, 30% pay, 70% don't pay. But the ones who pay cover the cost for everyone else.
In terms of, you know, more and more content coming from the founders, founders becoming sort of more, I guess, more popular than their brands. I don't know how to put it exactly, but where are we really going with this whole thing?
I think it's a good thing, because end of the day, the consumer knows the founder. And MDH Masala is a classic example, right? MDH. The patriarch was the person who made the masala, imported from all over the world. He was the face. And then people got faith in the masala. The masala tasted good. And then he was the logo, right? Founder-driven brands are not new, all right? I think a lot of people are using podcasts to create a brand for the founder. But I think it should be done thoughtfully. It should be done purposefully.
Some founders have made educational topics the central themes of their podcasts, like Zerodha's founder Nikhil Kamath's show, WTF. The show has found a devoted audience among Gen Zs and young millennials due to its in-depth exploration of various industries. CureFit and Myntra founder Mukesh Bansal's podcast Sparks goes beyond startups, engaging with historians and economists. But as Shantanu pointed out, these podcasts avoid tough questions about their guests or their companies, prioritizing the narrative and image desired by both parties. This raises the concern, are viewers being deprived of the full picture by polished storylines that might overlook important facts? I asked Ankur Variku, the OG founder turned content creator, about his views on this trend. How has the concept of a founder as a brand representative evolved in India, and how do you see it unfolding?
I do believe that the time has come where India is now looking at founders as personal brands, and founders have also recognized that. It's always been the case in the US where you've seen some very strong founders and some very strong brands get built on simultaneously. But in India, there was always this, I'd call it cultural, that don't be too much in the people's eyes, nazar lag jayegi, and you will be in the limelight, you'll give away a lot more than you'll get, so on. But now founders recognize that that's not necessarily the case, and there is always going to be an affinity towards a person than a brand in the minds of a consumer. And that's what they are tapping into. It's clearly evolved with a lot of video content coming in, a lot of conversations coming in, with Shark Tank making entrepreneurship as a family conversation topic. It's becoming mass, it's becoming public. So founders have also recognized that it's really cool now to be a founder, to speak about your lifestyle, your challenges, your problems, your day-to-day life, so on. And I only see this growing much bigger in the future.
Has brand recall of founders surpassed that of the company in some instances?
A lot of times, I remember people used to make fun of me that there are a lot more people who know of Ankur Variku than they know of Nearby, which, by the way, wasn't the case, because if you go to Google Trends, you will find the results to be very different. But there are several cases, as I said, globally. There are a lot more people who would know of Elon Musk than know of Tesla and SpaceX. There are a lot of people who would know of Richard Branson than would know of Virgin Group. In India, I'd say that hasn't happened as yet. I do think Kunal Shah comes the closest, where his brand would be, in my opinion, bigger than that of Creds. And the Kamath brothers are now, of course, doing a great job, where I don't think most people even knew who the founders of Zerodha were until recently. And now they are actively creating content, and I love what Nikhil and Nitin are doing. And it's only setting them up for creating a brand that most likely will be far bigger than Zerodha very soon.
Is it a sign that more and more companies want to control their own narrative?
100% yes. I believe companies have recognized that middlemen or agencies in the middle, they aren't doing a great job of it. And why should anybody get to control the narrative when they can do it themselves? I do believe it's a great trend. I do believe that it gives the customer absolute freedom over what to choose, how to choose, who to follow, why to follow, and also then create their own brand persona through the persona of the founder. And I love it. For everything that Zomato does and does so commendably well on social media, there's also Dippy, who's doing his own thing, and now he has his own vibe and his own culture, and he will attract his own kind of people, and they will then naturally find themselves associated in some way with the Zomato culture as well. So I love it. And I do believe that all of this is a progressive trend.
Ankur, what do you think are the pitfalls of this trend?
My only challenge is, for a first-time founder, it can very quickly become a personal game and a disastrous personal game, because social media, especially when you're young, has this dual-edged sword nature where it, of course, has a wonderful feeling attached to it, but it also is destructive with the trolling that comes in, with your chase of vanity metrics that begins to creep in, where you're like, oh, why didn't this get so many views? Why didn't this get so many shares? Why didn't this get so many impressions? Blah, blah. That you lose the larger essence of why you started this in the first place. It wasn't to get shares. It wasn't to get views. It wasn't to get followers. It was to have a direct conversation with people that you want to speak to. The founder's sole responsibility is towards the startup. It is not to create that personal brand. And if in any way the personal brand's creation is coming in the way of them delivering on their responsibilities as a founder, that is when the game has turned upside down for them.
Experts say that unlike short-form content, which is virality-driven, when you get someone to sit for a few hours to watch your podcast, you're creating a community. And a community is more likely to make a monetary decision in your favor. Yet, a marketing expert warns that guest-reliant podcasts may soon face a correction due to lack of fresh voices. For instance, figures like Kunal Shah of Cred and founders of Mama Earth have appeared on many popular shows. There is also a sense that startup as a podcast category has become saturated, and entrepreneurs who are now venturing into chat shows may have to find different niches to explore. This shift also reflects a larger trend that is unfolding in Silicon Valley around direct communication. A recent Bloomberg article captured how the tech world is increasingly bypassing traditional media channels, which some perceive as hostile and overly critical. In this scenario, indie podcasters with large followings are stepping up to play a significant role. A few listeners I spoke to say that they understand the branding aspect of the shows and are okay as long as they're getting valuable insights from this content. The former editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter summed it up best to news publication Semaphore, and I quote, "It's another troubling sign of a post-journalism world that's becoming defined by opinion and people's lived experiences. It's Mark Andreessen doing his own YouTube, or VCs doing their own podcasts, and they're working." That's all in this episode. This episode was produced by Sarohini Jain. Our sound editor is Amrit Rechi. Executive producers are Anirban Chaudhary and Arijit Burman. The Morning Brief podcast drops every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Tune into ET Play for all the audio content. You can also listen to our podcast on all major streaming platforms. Thank you for listening and have a great day ahead. All external sound clips used in the episode belong to the respective owners. Credits are mentioned in the description.